Matt, you suggested off the podcast before we started that Jay Cutler was a good stream. Care to explain yourself?
Yeah, I never fucking said that. Never ever will.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized, hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Yeah. So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I am your host for this evening, Vinny Gonzalez, and I'm here joined by my friend and my arch rival, Matt Rogers. How you doing, Matt?
Pretty good, Vinny. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm not doing so hot in a few leagues, mainly our main one. I'm 1-5, feeling fine. You know how it goes. You're doing pretty well, though. I'm very not envious.
Yeah, I actually I just realized it today that I am undefeated in two leagues and 4-2 in our main one. And then I'm pretty bad in another one. But this is like a year that I have never had. I am waiting to crash and burn in heartbreaking fashion on all fronts.
Ah, man, and, you got to have more faith than that, though, man. You know, just because you've collapsed other times, don't let the pressure get to you.
That's true, but I'm just feeling good, and then I've realized that this week is only the halfway point of the regular season in fantasy. So there is still a lot of time left as quickly as it seems to be going.
That is true. So there's a lot of time for you to suck and a lot of time for me to get better because it is, like you said, the halfway point, and we are here with the Week 7 preview. So we're going to hit half the games. We're hitting the Thursday night game. And then we're going to hit the other podcast, which will come out, I believe, Friday by the time you hear it. And that'll be the rest of the games. So we're going to go through those. But first, we're going to give a quick shout out to Bench Boss. I gave this a good try. It was very fun, very addicting, and it should be coming out soon. They're still beta testing, but very excited. And they are the revolutionary app that allows you to play fantasy football live while watching the game on TV. Predict the plays, the results of the play, and literally play fantasy football. You can sign up for the beta now by going to letstalkfantasyfootball.com/benchboss. And for us, we'll plug the shit out of us. You can like and subscribe to our podcast. We're on Spreaker. We're on SoundCloud. We're on YouTubes, all that good stuff. So, and you can download our apps on Alexa in the App Store for Android and iOS. So go through those. Let us know what you like, don't like. Hopefully you're very, you know, honest and let us know what you really think. But hopefully it's all good stuff.
Yeah. LTFF is everywhere.
Yeah.
One of us even recently appeared in Hustler magazine. I won't say who, but
definitely Don.
Find that for yourself. Ah, it's Don. You guessed correctly.
Don did the full spread. Big 3-page spread, the middle of the magazine.
Yes. It's a bear rug. I could picture it.
Ooh, Don is laying there. Oh, man. You can feel how good this podcast is going to be.
Yeah.
That being said, let's jump right into the meat and potatoes of this podcast with the Thursday night game, AFC West Showdown. We got the Chiefs, who just suffered their first loss to Pittsburgh, coming in to face the Raiders. I hope this game will be good. I think it will be. The defenses are a little shoddy. Let's do the Chiefs side first. Matt, what do you think about Alex Smith? People have been riding him pretty much since he's kind of come through since the first week. Had a little bit of a rough outing against Pittsburgh, but they have a pretty good defense. Raiders a little less. What are you thinking for Alex Smith here?
Yeah, Alex Smith has been a lot better at home, obviously, in Arrowhead, but he's been pretty consistent with that low floor. He's been rushing a lot, as we've seen. You know, he's a number one quarterback. I think the Raiders defense definitely should. If you started him against Pittsburgh last week, definitely keep rolling. You're right. The Raiders defense is definitely not as up to snuff as a lot of the other ones. And I feel like Alex Smith has had good games against good defenses. So,
yeah, he's been borderline matchup proof. And even last week against the Steelers, he didn't do too bad. I think he gave you 14, 15. Didn't kill your week, that's for sure.
Right. Right. He's not afraid to dump off still. He's been looking downfield a little more, which is why I think he's seeing so much more success statistically. But, you know, he's still willing to work in the dump offs and get his yardage up a little bit. So that floor should stay high.
Yeah, absolutely. And the people he would be throwing to might be a little thin because we have Albert Wilson, who is questionable. So if he doesn't go, Matt, are you looking to do some crazy stuff on Thursday and possibly play DeAnthony Thomas, who has a touchdown in the last 2 weeks?
I don't think it's the worst play. It's very, very ballsy. And also, to bank off your point, Chris Conley is also banged up and they're not sure if he's going to go for this game. I didn't see a distinction today, but I saw he's also banged up. I forget his exact injury. We saw that Tyreek Hill was hurt a little bit in this game last week, but he is off the injury report. So, I mean, I expect them to feed him, but, you know, we've seen that no team, even Alex Smith, will only feed one receiver. I think that it's a high-risk play, but I think that it could be beneficial for you.
Yeah, if you're in some kind of crazy pinch and you want to get a little ballsy, like you said, you can go for it. It won't be a bad play as long as Albert Wilson is out. So keep that in mind. This is one of those things you monitor like up to the minute. So keep posted on that. So we don't hate it as a play, but, you know, ballsy, like we said. Kareem Hunt, you're playing always until you die. I think the same thing with Travis Kelce. If he's still active, he had a down week again last week, but I think you still roll him out there.
Absolutely. And one thing I wanted to ask you on Kareem Hunt, you obviously are still playing him. He's, you know, a top three running back at the very worst, but he has not scored a touchdown since week three. And, you know, he was scoring and running at an unsustainable rate for those first few games of the season. But are you a little bit concerned if he can sustain that, you know, carry your team type of potential every week? Or, you know, should you start banking on not expecting 20 plus points from him week in and week out?
Maybe not 20 plus, but dude, he's been going over 100 scrimmage yards every single week. So I think you can bank on that. We've seen David Johnson sustain an entire superstar season on stuff like that. So you can absolutely bank on that. I think 10 points plus every week is to be expected, I think, out of Kareem Hunt now. He's a complete superstar.
No, absolutely. I agree with that. It's something I'm keeping an eye on as a guy that, if you've listened to the podcast, knows I own a shitload of Kareem Hunt. So just, that, please stay like freakishly great.
There's that little self-doubt creeping in, like your 4-2 ass is about to get got.
Exactly.
And then you alluded to Tyreek Hill, but we didn't really say what to do with him. I think you roll him out there. He should be a go.
Yep.
And some other, like some weird news for the backfield. Kendrick West is going to be out. So Akeem Hunt and CJ Spiller, who they signed for the fourth time, will be out there. I guess monitor that if you're in the handcuffing business, but nothing crazy for fantasy there.
Yeah, no, DeAnthony Thomas would be the freak, you know, the ballsy play that you go with. None of those backup guys.
Yes, completely agree. Shifting over to the Raiders, Derek Carr looked very sloppy in his return to action after being, I think, completely rushed back from that back issue he has. And what do you think about him as a play here? I think he's a pretty safe sit, even though it's not the worst matchup in the world. Chiefs have been giving up a lot of points to the quarterbacks, and their defense has been a little shoddy.
Yeah, like you said, though, on a short week in his second game back, I don't love it. I feel like there's better options. Like, for instance, would you prefer a Tyrod Taylor to something like that? I feel like he's on the low end of streamable Derek Carr, right? So I think, like, he falls into that quarterback, like, 14 or 15 for me. There's probably better options. And, you know, if you own Derek Carr and he just missed some time, you probably have another quarterback that was getting you through that time on your roster. So I think that there's better options out there.
Yeah, I agree. And you alluded to Tyrod Taylor. I'm sure we'll hit him when we get to the Bills game, and we'll sprinkle in some streamers as we go in case you guys don't want to play Alex Smith or don't want to play Derek Carr on Thursday Night Football with the back injury stuff. And the backfield situation, I don't know if Lynch is playable anymore. I have no faith in this guy whatsoever. Like, Jalen Richard has been good, but you can't really play any of these guys.
No, Lynch at very best for me is a running back three, and I think that's kind of generous. He is extremely touchdown dependent, like Mike Gillisley, LeGarrette Blount-esque touchdown dependent. It seems like he's not putting up 100-yard games or anything like that. They're not even feeding him at that rate, and even when they have, you know, it hasn't been working out unless he gets in the end zone. So, I think there's a lot better options, like we said before. I'd say that you should try and find any excuse to not play him.
Yeah, absolutely. And then for the receivers, we got, of course, you're playing Crabtree. You have to. He's the best. And Amari Cooper, Matt, do you think this is a get-right game for him, or is this one of those where you're just going to sit him because it's a short week, Derek Carr's a little shot, and you just kind of hate Amari Cooper at this point?
I definitely hate Amari Cooper. I was going to say, if there is a breakout game coming, I think that it has to be this one, right? The Chiefs have been pretty vulnerable against the wide receiver, especially as of late. And Cooper has looked really, really bad. He's getting the targets. He's dropped a lot of passes. I don't think that he's a must play this week, literally at all. Even though the Chiefs have been kind of gutted, it would really, really suck if you sat him and he went off, because that game is coming. It feels like at some point. It's just I don't feel comfortable putting him in my lineup. He's an anchor at this point.
Yeah, I wouldn't even feel bad if he went off, if he was on my bench. I mean, you know, as much as you could not feel bad. Like, it's just you don't see it coming anymore. He's had like less than 3 fantasy points every single week. So like of the last 3 weeks. So I think he's a safe sit unless you want to gamble on the upside of the matchup here, which is all on you. You can do whatever you'd like. We're staying on the side of caution on this one.
You're right. It's just the only thing, the Chiefs have given up the most touchdowns to the wide receiver. I think that I would kind of kick myself if this was when I bailed. If you haven't bailed already, maybe stick with it for this last week if you're in a position where you're not 1-5 like some people that I know, you know, and you really desperately need a win. Maybe if you're 4-2 like some really good guys, then you can risk the breakout and hope for the reward. But that wasn't about me or you, Vinny. It was just, you know, hypothetical.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking like that 1-5 guy probably doesn't have any feelings or, you know, didn't take that to heart whatsoever. So whatever. Yeah, right. Do whatever you want. And then you're not streaming Jared Cook, correct?
No. There's way better tight end options out there for sure.
Sweet. I think that wraps it up for this game. Who do you got, Matt?
I will take the Chiefs.
I'm going to go with the upset and bring a tiny little smile to Walsh's face and say the Raiders bring the upset here.
Okay.
I don't really know why, but I'm just kind of feeling that.
Yeah, me neither.
Speaking of not feeling that, let's go to a super gross game. Ravens at Vikings. This should be very low scoring, super gross, and I don't really know who the hell I want to play outside of like Jerick McKinnon and Adam Thielen.
Yeah, Diggs still is not practicing. One person that I'm thinking I may want to play is Kyle Rudolph. It seemed with no Diggs last week, Kyle Rudolph, so I think he got 9 targets, sort of picked up the slack in the target share. And keep in mind, don't forget this Ravens team is the second worst in fantasy against the tight end, and they gave up 3 touchdowns to Mercedes fucking Lewis. So I think if you're in the tight end roulette pool and you're streaming, I think that Kyle Rudolph is definitely a decent low-end tight end 1 play for me this week.
Yeah, that's a good call there, Matt. And I think even if Diggs is active, he's probably going to be limited in some fashion. But if you are a Diggs owner and he is active, you got to play him. The matchup's not too great, but it's still Diggs. He's a dynamic playmaker. And I think you can still play Rudolph if Diggs is out there. Should be plenty of targets to go around for him. And then, yep, as we said, absolutely, McKinnon, I think, is a must play to my dismay because I really don't like Jerick McKinnon, but he is getting tons and tons of work.
Yeah, and he's still splitting the carries, it seems, at least with Latavius Murray, but the Ravens' run defense is pretty good as far as, you know, the north-to-south runner that Latavius Murray is. McKinnon's definitely the guy that should get more of the work here. And now, you know, the Vikings and other teams are going to be really wanting this division, so I think they're going to kind of let their stars run a little bit. And not so much trying, you know, justify Latavius Murray's contract like they may have been doing earlier.
Yeah, that's a good call. And then if Diggs is out, Laquon Treadwell, does he intrigue you at all? Probably not.
No, not at all. You definitely got to see at least any sort of positive sign in the NFL from that dude before throwing him into your lineup.
That is a good call. I definitely agree with you. I guess we should talk about the Ravens backfield because you probably have to play one of these guys. Someone's probably in this pinch. Alex Collins, I think you could probably play him. He's getting like chunk yardage and he's getting a lot of usage. So I think, you know, breaking a big play isn't outside of his wheelhouse, and you know, the usage is always there. So that's not a bad play to me. And then you got Buck Allen, and I think he's also a good play because he's very likely they shut down the run game. They're going to have to go to the outside like the Vikings are probably going to have to do with Jerick McKinnon.
Right. I agree too. And I think that Buck Allen's going to have a pretty big role in this game too, because Mike Wallace is on the injury report. Greg Campanaro is on the injury report. They're both listed as questionable. We saw Macklin, who's expected to play, missed last week's game when he was expected to play also. Again, he's only practiced limited in a limited fashion. And the Ravens seemed concerned enough about it that they went out and signed Griff Whalen to add some wide receiver depth. So Buck Allen should be the dump-off hero to Joe Flacco this week. And I could see him easily getting, you know, 16, maybe even 20 touches if you know, depending on how the game script goes.
Yeah, that's true. I could see either team falling behind early, and then someone's going to get those dump-off passes regardless.
Yep. Yeah. It doesn't. It wouldn't shock me if Buck Allen had like 10 carries and 7 catches or something like that,
as he is known to do.
Yes.
Any of the pass catchers you want to play, Matt? I know you touched on them lightly. I don't want to touch any of these guys. Mike Wallace, yeah. Perriman, Macklin might not play. Leave me out.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, I think Perriman, not Campanaro, is the one I was thinking of that was on the injury report. Now that you say
yeah,
that,
he got messed up in the Bears game.
Yeah, yeah. So my fault on that. I apologize. But what's funny is when I was I'm in a league where I may have to play Jeremy Macklin if he's active. It's our league because I have a very serious wide receiver problem. But
four and two, you say?
Yes, yeah. It's not for long. Well, I guess even if I win, it's not for long. That's a stupid comment. But so John Harbaugh actually said in an interview that they want to get more aggressive in the passing game, and then they signed Griff Whalen like 20 minutes after he said that, which I found really funny. But yeah, you try not to play Macklin. I would try and avoid any sort of pass catcher. Yeah, you're right, in this Baltimore team.
Yeah, they're just not good, very inconsistent. You don't know when they're going to – eventually they will let loose with some huge game where Flacco's throwing 50-plus, but you do not know when. I am going to go with the Vikings in this game.
Yeah, I'll go with the Vikings as well.
Why'd you want to pick the – you wanted to pick the Ravens there?
No, I just like –
I don't want to pick anyone.
Yeah, it's like, is this going to be a winner here?
Could very well be a tie. We shall see.
Oh, I should pick that.
Matt, I kind of want to give this one to you, but it's going to be pretty sad. Saints at Packers. Obviously, the big storyline is Aaron Rodgers going down for the season, broken collarbone. Pretty shitty, I guess. Do you want to touch on the Packers side? Tell us what Brett Hundley's all about.
Yeah, so Brett Hundley played last week, and he played pretty poorly. He found Devontae Adams for a touchdown. I don't know if you saw that touchdown, the video of it. Did you see it? Yeah, it was like very – he was like getting ready to – it was a broken play, and he was getting ready to tuck and run, and then was just like, oh, shit, there's a wide-open receiver that I actually should probably throw it to.
That's called making a play, man. I thought that was pretty good.
You know, I thought it was good, but, like, it wasn't like a great, you know, this is him running our offense sort of thing. It was an athletic play. I don't know. It's just – he didn't really have many encouraging signs to where he sort of had that deer in a headlights look, which is completely understandable. When you're Aaron Rodgers' backup, you're either never going to play, or when you do play, it's when everybody is so pissed and sad. So I'll be honest, even from reading up on some of the beat writers that I'm trying to, you know, find out how the Packers are going to shake out their offense, no one really knows. Some people think that, you know, they're going to lean on Ty Montgomery and Aaron Jones a little bit more, which we'll get to in a minute. And I think will definitely be the case. They'll want to establish the run and keep Brent Hundley, you know, comfortable there. But I'll start it this way. Brent Hundley, I don't think should be started, right? You agree with that?
There's like some part of like this really shitty part of my brain that's saying play him in daily or something. I can almost hear Walsh saying it, but yeah, absolutely not in any real setting where it's going to cost you a win or a loss in a real game.
Yeah. We also just saw the Saints have like 12 pick sixes or something like that against Matt Stafford. So I just don't think that the Saints defense is actually hot, which I never thought I would say. And they're going against an extremely inexperienced quarterback. So maybe a speculative ad in really deep leagues for Brett Hundley, but he shouldn't find any lineups. Now, as far as the receiving core, Jordy, you still got to roll out there, but he's no longer a wide receiver one. I think Walsh had said that in our group chat earlier, and I agree with him.
Yeah.
But I still think you have to throw him and Devontae Adams out there until you see how this goes, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at worst, they're wide receiver twos. You were saying like the pick sixes for the Saints. They've been much better as a defense, but still giving up chunk plays, lots of touchdowns. So those guys should find some kind of room. And if anything, it's going to be like a garbage time situation like last week for the Lions. So the worst that happened, this is a nice game where you could still roll them out and they have a nice matchup to bank on.
Right. I agree with that. I think, though, that this makes Randall Cobb not playable because, you know, it's possible that Randall Cobb could have a decent game. I don't think it's possible that all three of these guys do. And you got to play the odds here and roll out the two better talents that get the most targets here. So I think Cobb is a definite sit this week. Do you agree?
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. He runs a lot of option routes, right? Like very like intricate things that probably him and Rodgers work on a lot. Yeah. So it's a lot of intricate stuff.
Yeah. Actually, that's a good point. He runs a lot out of the backfields, a lot of like shovel passes and, you know, like little, like slot routes on the outside, you know, things like that. So yeah, it's a lot of trick plays involved with him and running up the seam and things like that. So that's a good point that I didn't even consider. And that's definitely a chemistry that is keeping Randall Cobb relevant when he was playing with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like whenever Aaron Rodgers broke a play, like you'd find Cobb somewhere on the field for a big game.
Right. And something else I want to say real quick is that we've kind of been, especially you and me, been very off the Packers tight ends this year, especially Martellus Bennett.
Yes.
Not only do I still see them being played in, or him being played in leagues, but I don't even think Packers tight ends should be owned at this point.
No. Yeah, absolutely not. They're not doing anything. It's just, they're non-playable.
Yeah. It's just, I'm hoping that people that have still been like rocking Martellus Bennett in their flex or some shit like that, like this will finally be, you know, the domino that falls that makes them drop him finally.
Yeah. Hopefully people will learn eventually.
Yes. Yes.
Are you playing Ty Montgomery or Aaron Jones with any sort of confidence? You might have to play them, but how much confidence do you have in these guys?
I think I'm playing both of them. Ty Montgomery still played last week after that, broken rib situation. And they're saying that he's getting healthier, obviously. Practiced all week in a fine capacity. And, the beginning of the year, Aaron Jones was on this team. And Ty Montgomery, they definitely said that they wanted him to sort of be the bell cow or the guy that got the most work out of that backfield. That being said, though, I will say about Ty Montgomery, I think he's more of a flex play because a lot of his value was he's going to catch a lot of passes and the offense is going to be very, very good and they're going to be scoring a lot of points. And, you know, he won't be touchdown dependent because he won't need to score touchdowns as much because in PPR leagues and things like that, he'll just be getting work. Now that the offense takes a significant step or 10 back, I think that you should temper expectations on Montgomery, but I think that his role will increase more than last week, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and he actually almost walked away from that Vikings game with like some crazy touchdown that he kind of dropped. Like, you remember the cross over the middle?
Yeah.
So he was, yep, you know, kind of close to having that. So possibly some garbage time for him, I could see. I like him more than Aaron Jones, I think, just because they could utilize him in the passing game more so than Jones, I feel.
Right. I still think that it's possible to see these two guys on the field at the same time. I feel like they're going to want to completely shrink this whole offense, and it's going to be a lot of, you know, screen passes, short routes. They're going to want to ease Brett Hundley into this. And Aaron Jones has looked really good. So I wouldn't be shocked if Ty Montgomery sort of is more that, that interior, what Randall Cobb did a little bit more with Rodgers, if Ty Montgomery sort of takes that role a little bit.
Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah.
Not to mention also, sorry, real quick, is that Aaron Jones ran a lot of second-team offense all preseason and things like that. Him and Brett Hundley were on the field a lot together in practice, so that's just something to keep in mind as well.
Ooh, interesting tidbit to end the bit on the Packers. Nice.
Yes. Sorry, that was long-winded and, like, not any clarity given.
Oh, it's cool, man. You're like future Hall of Fame quarterback goes down. You got to vent somehow, and it's just this is the outlet right now.
Yeah, I just don't know what's going to happen. And our defense is so bad. But
I was going to say, I think I know what's going to happen, and it's going to be the Saints are probably going to have a field day. I'm sorry, Matt, on this Packers defense, starting with Drew Brees, who could be the top quarterback when all is said and done at the end of this week. So must play, throw out Brees as you would normally. Mark Ingram, baby, he's the king again.
Yeah.
Getting those carries. He's the king.
Yes. It's about time. The 1 year I don't own him.
Yeah. I missed on a few Mark Ingram opportunities in my drafts, and I regret it now because the shackles of oppression of Sean Payton have been released.
For now, yes. Can you count on it? Yeah. It would be such a Sean Payton thing to give Mark Ingram like six carries this week in like his best matchup of the year and just Alvin Kamara all day. Like, I would not be shocked.
Not only have we seen that, we've seen that multiple times. So, but that being said, definitely play Mark Ingram. Don't be stupid. And I think you could play Alvin Kamara, whether that be your RB2 or your flex. I feel like the value is RB2 for me this week.
Oh, yeah, man. I agree. You're playing everybody. You're playing Ted Ginn, I think.
Yes.
Ted Ginn big time.
Really? You think he's going to catch that deep ball or just get –
If there's one thing that the Packers, just by the eye test, are the worst at, it is just getting burnt. And then once that guy catches that ball, not being able to tackle him. Like, if Ted Ginn one-on-one coverage, not to mention the fact that I think I told you guys this in the group chat, Aaron Rodgers, the Packers have had so many injuries that Aaron Rodgers is not even on injured reserve yet, because they had to put Quentin Rollins, their top cornerback, now on IR, and they didn't even have enough guys to promote with all the guys they had to put on IR, so they had to push some back to the next week. It's like a real clusterfuck of just like, what the hell is going on?
Jesus, man. Ever since that Super Bowl, I also saw a stat. Like, they've had so many dudes go ship to IR. I forget what number it was, but it was astronomical. And I feel bad. It's just, they could be, you know, Super Bowl contenders. They even are Super Bowl contenders every year with all the injuries. God knows if they stay healthy for once, but.
Yeah, it was just one thing that kept them Super Bowl contender. And then now that's gone.
It is gone. It is on the shelf. Yes. Yeah, like you said, roll everybody out. I guess Ted Ginn is your stream of the week, Matt.
Oh yeah, big time. I won't give anything away on this podcast, maybe the second one, but I'm going after Ted Ginn everywhere.
Very nice. And then Michael Thomas must play, obviously. How do you feel about Willie Snead? I feel like he's safe to sit based on his usage last week and how they're easing him in with the injury from the hamstring, but I would feel really dumb if he had a good game, especially in a nice matchup.
Yeah, it's a nice matchup, and I truly think that opposite of what I said about the Packers, where I don't think there'll be enough to feed, you know, three receivers or anything like that, I think that there will be enough that Snead could end up definitely finding the end zone or getting a lot of work. They could, you know, if they go up a little bit, they could want to ease him in even more and sort of take the next step with him. But I like you said, I think that there could be better options. You don't have to play him. I'd rather play Ted Ginn.
Okay.
Would you?
I love Snead. So I understand that that's stupid for me to play him over Ginn. So I agree with what you're saying, but I would play Snead because I'm dumb.
Okay.
But it sucks mentioning Snead. He's, you know, people drafted him, got no usage out of him for, what, 7 weeks now? So I feel like this is the week to use him finally after the suspension and the hamstring shit. So I would throw him in.
That's true. That's true.
Now, with that being said, I'm taking the Saints here. Sorry, Matt.
No, that's fine. I think I have to take the Packers still. I have to hope L and pick the Saints in Lambeau.
We don't pick against our own teams on this podcast, if you've been listening at all. And also, I forgot to mention, Don will be at this game, which is pretty fucking sweet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, maybe. I bet you he bought the tickets right before Rodgers got sacked and broke his collarbone. I bet you this is all Don's fault. He's like, I'm going to go see him next week. It's crack.
Aaron Rodgers hates Don, so he's like, fuck this. I don't want to be at this game. I'm going to land extra hard on this shoulder.
Devalue the ticket.
Oh, my God. Poor Don has to see Breeze sling it in Lambeau. Anyway, moving on to another fucking gross game. The Jets at the Dolphins, a rematch from the almost shutout that was prevented by super garbage man Jay Cutler from week, what, 2, 3? I don't even care. This is the rematch already. I think it's pretty early for the second, you know, rivalry games for these guys.
Yeah, and I think that there was week 3 because they missed their first game, right? And they played the Chargers first, I think, the Dolphins.
Yeah, that's right.
Those are very close together.
Yeah, very odd. Very odd. But so, Matt, who do you love in this garbage fire of teams? I know there's been a lot more fantasy value on the Jets side. That we've, you know, kind of come to expect, but I think really the only guy I have any confidence in playing on the Jets is ASJ.
Yeah, ASJ is a tight end, high tight end one, I think. I think he's like a top 5 or 6 play when you take away Kelsey. I mean, really, who would you play over him? Gronk, Kelsey, and who else?
Ertz.
Who am I forgetting? I know I'm forgetting Ertz, definitely. I know I'm forgetting a glaring one. Yeah. And then this week, maybe Jimmy Graham, but we'll get to that a little bit later.
Yeah, absolutely. But hit the nail on the head. Definitely a wide, tight end one going forward.
Yep. We saw him get robbed of that touchdown, almost had a second one. It would have been his third in 2 weeks. So, you know, he's definitely McCown's safety blanket.
That cost me my matchup, dude. If I would have had that, I hate my life. But yeah, so definitely roll out ASJ. We saw Matt Forte come back. I don't know. He had a lot of catches, but this is probably going to be a weird game. So I don't feel comfortable playing. If you can avoid it, I don't feel comfortable playing any of the running backs, that being Matt Forte, Bilal Powell. Probably going to be questionable coming in, if not doubtful. Elijah McGuire got barely any work last week with Forte back healthy. And then Travaris Cadet was like hopping in and out. So I'm officially super out on the Jets.
And also, this may be the first time I've ever said this or will say it again, but the Dolphins' defense is better than the Patriots' defense, who the Jets played last week.
So I agree with that assessment.
Yeah, it's disgusting to say, but it's true.
It really is, man. You're not streaming Josh McCown, are you?
No, I don't think you should. It's just the ceiling isn't there to justify the risk.
Yeah, you got away with it last week. We nailed that one for what it was.
Yes.
That is what it is. I think a guy to keep an eye on, I don't think I'm playing any of the wide receivers either, but a guy to keep an eye on is probably Jeremy Curley. We've seen it be a different guy every week, be it Robbie Anderson, Jermaine Kearse, or Curley now. So just keep an eye on those guys. They're like super panic. You're taking a spin on the wheel of the wide receiver roulette for the Jets if you are playing any of them.
Yes, I would be very interested to see what this team looked like if Quincy Enunwa was healthy all year.
Oh, he would be competing for targets and catches for sure. Like if we're leading,
I just think that he would be so good.
Yeah, I meant competing for like high in the league for targets. Catches.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought you meant like with Jeremy Curley.
Oh God, no! He would beat the shit out of this wide receiver core, man. He's so much better than these guys.
Yeah, okay, cool.
It's like the Jets lost year. They're pretty decent right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Very odd, but we'll shift it over. Matt, you suggested off the podcast before we started that Jay Cutler was a good stream. Care to explain yourself?
Yeah, I never fucking said that. Never ever will. I don't even know if the Dolphins want to stream Jay Cutler as their starting quarterback anymore.
Dude, he just had a 17-point second-half comeback against a team that was in the Super Bowl last week.
Right, dude. That's really awesome. Bank on that shit. Go ahead.
Oh, I will not. And you should not play Jay Cutler at all.
Yeah. Not to mention Devontae Parker, who caught that last, non-shutout or shutout avoiding touchdown at the last second against the Jets last time. He will probably not play in this game, right? That's the word?
Yeah, he's looking doubtful. So it looks like another Landry game. Which is
On Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, he had a nice outing. Saw Kenny Stills rob the touchdown, but yeah, like you're alluding to, he's a very good play.
Yeah, and he also had a pretty great game against the Jets in that loss. Regardless of them kind of getting blown out by the Jets a little bit, he was still Jay Cutler just looks for him completely. That's pretty much it. He's fine with those crossing routes and low risk throws
because absolutely
he sucks.
He's really good, man. Yeah. Jay Ajayi finally having a sweet, sweet game. Do you trust it? I mean, you're definitely playing him, but the Jets have been pretty vulnerable to the run. I think he probably puts up back-to-back good games now.
Maybe. They shut him down pretty well that last time they met up. I think he only had something like 30 total yards through the ground and air. I can't really say if that number's accurate, but it was very, very shitty game. I'm not banking on it. I am so grateful that I own no shares of Jay Ajayi. That guy is completely frustrating. It is a good matchup on paper. I see this game possibly being weirdly sloppy. And, you got to play him, like you said, but I'm putting him as, like, a mid-running back two for me. I'm sure I'm the exception there, but
yeah,
that's what I think.
Valid points, definitely valid points. But like we said, you probably have no choice. So Jay Ajayi it is. Don continues on the war path to 1,800 yards for Jay Ajayi, a battle he will lose.
yes. What was the number? He said 1,800 total yards.
He just kept saying that. Yeah, I don't know where he got it from, what hot take he saw. But yeah, 1,800 yards for Jay Ajayi. I think it was all purpose, but still crazy.
Yeah, and Ajayi also has not yet found the end zone, which is extremely concerning for me.
Yeah.
Even coming off that good game.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he hit pay dirt this game.
Right. I mean, it's got to come eventually. And again, on paper, it makes sense. But, I want no part of it.
It's definitely gross, but I get it. I get where the concerns come from. But I am going to take – I guess it'd be an upset. I'm going to go with Jay Cutler and the Dolphins here.
Okay, I'll take the Jets, and maybe we can edit that out, and I just won't pick. But I'll take the Jets just to have it on record.
You can keep taking ties, man. The games don't get prettier. Like it's like a slate of trash games for weeks. We picked a bad preview podcast.
Tie, 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 tie. Yes.
All right, we're gonna wrap up with the final four games that we're touching on for this podcast, and we're going to hear from Bench Boss right now, so we will be right back.
This year, dominate your friends with free play-by-play fantasy football from Bench Boss. Bench Boss is the first play-by-play fantasy football game where you must think like the players and coaches on the field as you predict the outcome of every play. Earn rewards as you compete against friends and fans across the country. Bench Boss is currently recruiting beta testers, and we need you. Visit benchboss.tv to learn more and sign up today.
And we are back, guys. That was Bench Boss. Go check him out. Sign up for the beta. It's really fun. It's super addicting. It made me ignore my girlfriend and she left the room. So positives all around. We're going to jump right into another fucking gross game. Panthers at the Bears. Oh, man. This is another gross one. Let's start with Cam.
Tie.
Tie. I picked the Panthers. It's a tie and they win.
Yes.
Cam has been doing very well. Had a really good fantasy outing against the Eagles on Thursday night last week, but threw a bunch of picks and shit. Bears, sneaky good on defense. Do you trust Cam this week, Matt? We've been off him as a podcast, but have been slowly, you know, buying into the hype once more. I don't know if he'll burn you this week, but it's coming. I definitely know it's coming.
Yeah, I do like Cam this week. The Bears are – their defense ranks bottom of the league in interceptions. I think they only have two, and I think that's worse by a couple in the entire NFL. So, I mean, Cam still should probably throw a couple, but I think that it'll come at a lesser rate than other games. I like it. He's coming off a hot streak. He's been rushing a little bit more than we saw in the beginning when he was really, really sucking. You know, and if you're not going to play him here, you've played him in other matchups. Why would you switch here, you know? Why would you go against that now?
I think you keep rolling them. It's just I can feel the burn coming, and it's going to sting like hell.
Oh, absolutely. But I feel like that's sort of a given with Cam anyway, or anybody that you take that's like, you know, kind of rush dependent as a low end quarterback one, right? You're going to have those 10-point games now and then, but you're hoping you even with more 25s.
Yeah, even when you take like a higher up there guy like a Tom Brady or a Drew Brees, you're going to suffer some, you know, burn games where like they put up, you know, 10 points, 14. It's going to bum you out, but that's what happens. You're right. For the backfield, I'm going to sit Jay Stew. I'm kind of off him completely. And then McCaffrey, I think probably a start till further notice, has tons of catches, tons of targets, and that's sustainable in PPR. In standard, you can probably afford to sit him.
Yeah, him and Cam look to be clicking a little bit more. You're right about Jonathan Stewart. He looks just god-awful. It just feels like whenever he's on the field, it's just very obvious that it's going to be a run up the middle. And he put up a negative point total last week. Definitely off Jay Stew. He's like close to droppable for me, I think. Not quite, but he's getting there.
Probably one more week.
Yeah, and like McCaffrey, I think you and me were talking about this. McCaffrey, you know, you got to keep in mind if you didn't watch the game that he got extremely lucky on that touchdown he caught last week. What was the situation? It was a play that was Cam, a touchdown and called back.
Yeah, so they didn't have the right angle, and Cam supermanned it into the end zone. Definitely had the ball over the pylon, but they didn't have the right angle, so that got taken back. They immediately throw, you know, the goal line flat to Christian McCaffrey, increasing people's luck and points. So that was a good move for, you know, McCaffrey owners, whatever. Don't bank on, like, getting those touchdowns, but the PPR floor is there, so that's why I do like him.
Yeah, it looks like the Panthers like draw up certain packages for him blatantly, which we kind of all thought going into the year. But PPR, he's a must start for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Some news out of practice. Kelvin Benjamin. I know Tony Romo pointed out that his knee was growing another knee, which was super fucking gross. I don't know if it was dislocated or it was like a huge bruise, but he missed practice today. So it's a little concerning. So I would keep an eye on it. He's been a little hobbled.
I did not know.
Yeah, sorry, Matt. 4-2, right?
Oh, no. Yeah. No,
oh, I love how I'm chipping away.
Yes. Yeah. My confidence. You told me to be confident. Then you're just like, oh, everything's falling apart, huh?
Hey, man, we're friends and dirty, dirty rivals. So I got to do what I got to do. But yeah, keep an eye on Kelvin. Obviously, roll him if he's active, but definitely keep an eye. Funchess. He's like the Nelson Aguilar of the Panthers, like having good games disappearing. I think you know at this point that you're going to play him. Some weeks he'll do good, some weeks he won't. I'm kind of off him, though, against the Bears.
I think I kind of like him, especially now with this news that Benjamin is a little bit questionable.
Oh, yeah, if he's out, he becomes, you know, a very good play. But if they're both
right,
they're
but
both
even out. So, What's encouraging to me was this was kind of a shootout against the Eagles last week, but those games that Funchess has disappeared, at least as of late, his targets are still there. So, yes, he had a pretty shitty game of 3 catches, but that was on 9 targets. And that was also in a game where Benjamin was just being thrown to constantly. So that's pretty encouraging for me. I think Benjamin had like 9 catches on like 13 targets or something like that. So the fact that that was a game that Kelvin had and Funchess still managed to get 9 targets, including some end zone targets over the last couple of weeks too, that he's dropped or Cam has missed him on. I think he's a decent flex option in this game personally.
Okay. I'm a little off, but
with all the questionable guys out there, like, you know, no Diggs and, you know, you got Ravens wide receivers all banged up and shit like that. I just think that, you know, no Devontae Parker, I think you might fall into a situation where you're toying with it. And I don't think it's the worst call to pull the trigger on it.
Yeah. That's a very good point. I'm taking for granted the fact that your team might be okay to sit him. So you're obviously pointing out a situation where it may not be, and he's still an okay play. Which is,
yeah, dude. Like, I have a team where I have to play Tyrell Williams and Jeremy Maclin weekly. So,
oh,
like,
was that the league where you're 4-2?
4-2, yeah. So, like, you know, I'm just like, no, cherish him, cherish Funchess's target share.
fucking whatever. But any love for Ed Dixon, who is surprisingly getting the targets now after having his breakout game? Do you roll him out there as like a fuck it whatever? Because I think you could.
Yeah, if you're a guy like that still has Ebron like Shrek, like you probably should. I think there's situations where it makes sense. I don't think it's necessary. Like if he's out there on your waiver wire and, you know, you have a like I'd rather play Hunter Henry or guys that I don't even really like that much, Kyle Rudolph, you know, guys like that. Absolutely. I put him like right above the Zach Miller, maybe a little better than that. That's a kind of bad one, but
nice transition, Matt. We'll go right over to the Bears now.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I guess you don't want to play Zach Miller, who is another
I'd rather not.
Another considerable stream. Yeah, I think I lead Ed Dixon there, and I think that pretty much sets the streamline for us. So don't go below Ed Dixon for this week.
Yep, and that's all we got on the Bears.
Yes, see you later.
I pick a tie.
Mitch has not been up to titty kissing standard as we would like to have him at, but they're just running the shit out of the football. And the only people I'm playing on this team are Jordan Howard and, in a shitty situation, probably Tariq Cohen.
Yeah, I'm definitely off Tariq Cohen more than I was a few weeks ago. I'm sure the whole fantasy community is. But Jordan Howard's coming off a game where he got 36 carries. Like, that's just all you got to say about that.
Yeah, definitely. They're doing some weird shit with Tariq Cohen now that he threw a pass to Zach Miller. So I still think he has like that oddly high floor where he's like a gadget thing anyway and could break a huge play at any time. So I think a lot of people might, you know, like he probably got him off the waiver like really early, like week 2. So you might be in a situation where you can sit him, but I like that he could be a game breaker at any point. So this, in a weird game like this, I feel like that could happen. So I like him as a flex play.
Yeah, yeah. When trying to navigate through the Bears passing attack, just think of it this way, that the last 4 passing touchdowns by the Chicago Bears were by 4 different people. And it was Tariq Cohen, Mitchell Trubisky, Pat O'Donnell, their punter, and then Mike Glennon before that. Ooh, so
nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird, weird shit. And then like right there, I'm just like, and I'm done. And I'm done with it. Jordan Howard only for me.
Yeah, that is the better way to look at it. You're not playing Kendall Wright. You're not playing any of the other bums. We're moving right along, Matt. I'm going to take the Panthers in this one.
Yeah, same.
Cool. We'll shift over to Cardinals at Rams. London alert. I had no idea this was a London game because I thought it was like I thought this was a typo, like a glitch in all the fantasy like interfaces. This is a London game. They're playing it at 6 o'clock over there, and it just happens to line up with our lazy American asses at 1 o'clock, so we don't have to wake up at 9:30 anymore.
Oh, wow. Yeah. For me, I actually do have to wake up at 9:30 because I'm on the West Coast.
Oh, so right. Well, you know, fuck you anyway, man.
Yeah, but now at least I get to watch the London game, because Sundays at 6:30 when they start are a hard no for this guy. I am not functioning.
Yeah, dude, no way. But yeah, late London game. They get a half night game. I guess you would call that an afternoon, you stupid idiot. Half night.
Yeah. They-
My stupidity is reaching a new high.
Yeah, I was like waiting for you to say matinee, and then I was like, oh, he didn't choose matinee, and then it's like, oh, he didn't choose anything in the English language.
Fucking Forrest Gump ass, half not.
The sun will be right above us.
Jesus Christ, I'm stupid. But we'll hop right into the let's go with the Cardinals, because Carson Palmer, former lover of mine, is coming back into the fantasy fold, dude. Been slinging it. We've been recommending him as a stream, but like kind of leaning on the "we're saying it, but we won't do it" kind of thing, and it's paid off. And I think you can play him again against the Rams. He's kind of becoming like that panic guy for people that fucked up on quarterback, or people that have Aaron Rodgers can definitely pick him up this week and play him.
That's a good call. He is definitely the leader of the AARP team that is the Arizona Cardinals right now. I think it has more to do with Larry Fitzgerald being just awesome still than it does Carson Palmer's skill, but that does not mean that will not affect Carson Palmer's numbers. So I'm about it as a streamer. I still put him in like that Tyrod Taylor area, like that, a little bit better maybe. But, you know, quarterback 12, 13 for me.
Cool. Yeah, that's definitely fair. The matchups, you know, the Rams are a little better on defense than we give them credit for. But, you know, now that they have this stupid, stupid run game with fucking Adrian Peterson, which we should probably jump into now for I fucking have an aneurysm, this isn't going to happen. Yeah. This isn't going to happen again, is it, Matt? Please tell me no.
You and me especially, like I was just like, AP, what a decoy. I mean, but then if you think about it, though, we should have known that he, you know, the Cardinals weren't going to get him and then just put him in a timeshare with Kerwin Williams. Like, in hindsight, I was looking at this.
Well, it was Andre Ellington I was worried about. Like, I just, like, and, like, easing him in, but he's, like, what, 10-year veteran plus? And he, you know, obviously handled the move well, crushed it, gave him some easy carries and stuff. And the point I want to make is this won't happen again, because he was still – he got fed. What did he get, like, almost 30 carries? Still average, yes. Still average below 3 yards a carry. Obviously broke some big plays. But, yeah, exactly. Like I can't buy into it. I'm sorry. I was talking over you.
No, but I think no. I was interjecting, but I'm saying, because I just wanted to say that if you own him and you picked him up on the waivers because he's probably dropped in your league and you don't play him this week, Ben, coming off that performance, I think you're a fool. Because if he does it again and he gets 20 carries, what did you pick up? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
like, unless you have like Kareem Hunt and Le'Veon Bell or something like that. You know, like this guy's got to be in your lineup. You have to find a way to put him in. It's not the best matchup. Like you said, the Rams are kind of sneaky good on defense. But if he's going to get that workload, any running back, especially a Hall of Fame caliber running back like Adrian Peterson, though he's not anymore, is going to get that sort of opportunity. It's so rare that you can guarantee 18-plus touches for a running back. And he got almost double that. So you got to bank on it, I think.
Okay, I'm in the camp of sell high, but you're in the camp of keep and see what happens still and play.
No.
And play.
I'm fine with sell high. I think sell high is good because I don't want it to be my fucking problem. That's why I didn't go for
him. Yeah, that's why I didn't pick him up either. Yeah, in many leagues. Yeah, I was just like, fuck,
right.
This is not my thing.
I wasn't even upset when he went off. I wasn't like, damn, I missed out and could have got him. I was like, fine. Yeah. I still don't want to touch it. So, yeah, sell high. If you can sell high, that could be great for your team. But
yes.
But I think if you're going to hold on to him and you're not getting a good enough offer and he's on your roster, you got to put him out there this week.
Absolutely. So, yeah, get him in there. That's our take. Sell high if you can. If not, you know, keep him, see what happens, whatever. And the other must play, obviously, Larry Fitzgerald has been going off, hasn't had that slow burn yet. So we'll see what happens, or I don't know, what fade out. We'll see what happens with Fitzgerald. But he is hot right now. Keep playing him. I don't know. Does John Brown interest you at all? He's been like getting consistent targets, looks, and been sneaking in some touchdowns, but I'm still a little sketchy on him like week to week.
Yeah, I not to throw into your lineup and start and expect anything from him, but I've seen some leagues where he's actually available on the waivers, and I think that you should definitely go and snatch him up.
Yeah. Healthy John Brown should absolutely be owned. The Jerron Brown thing did not really work out, even though it looked like it was trending that way. So obviously they like John Brown a whole lot more. Switching over to the Rams, do you think Jared Goff is a good streamer? Because I kind of do.
Yeah, I think the logic is there, and he's, you know, he hasn't really fallen off yet. I keep waiting for him to take like a severe step back because I've been watching a lot of Rams games out in LA so far and I kind of have no choice. And you know, he just looks good. So I don't hate it. I'd rather not. I think all the streamers that we've suggested, I'd feel safer with Carson Palmer, Tyrod Taylor. But also that's just me being foolish and being like, this is what I know. And I'm so scared.
Well, I think you said everything there. And I think we just found our like Ed Dixon tight end line comparison with Carson Palmer. Don't go below him. And I think Jared Goff is below him. But that being said, I think this could be like one of the sneakier shootouts because their defenses are good on paper, but obviously have been getting passed on a lot. So I like what's happening there. Obviously, Todd Gurley is a huge, huge play every week. Yep. Keep rolling him out. Tough matchup. Doug Martin had a pretty decent game against them last week, so it can be done. Don't worry about their points against. It's all right. He'll get it done. The wide receivers for the Rams, I'm confused again. After it started looking normal, Sammy Watkins has completely fallen off. I think unplayable.
Absolutely unplayable.
Yeah, he is. Oh, man. I don't know. That concussion, since then, he's gotten nothing since that crazy Thursday night game. So
I even wonder if Patrick Peterson is going to straight up shadow him this week. I think that it would not be their best strategy.
Yeah, I feel like if Patrick Peterson, he might not even be active. He's dealing with some quad issues. But if he is active, I don't know. Like, would you even bother putting him on Sammy Watkins? I'd probably throw him on like Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp. Like,
right.
If he's banged up, I don't know, but that is yet to be seen. Really not sure. But I think if you are going to play one of these guys, it's probably Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's the only other guy other than Gurley that I'm even considering.
Yeah. When you're going against the Cardinals, look for the slot, look for the over the middle guy. Cause that's where they will have to go for that work. I think that wraps up. Matt, are you interested in Tyler Higbee or Gerald Everett at all? They've been sneakily good, like kind of both of them every single week. They're getting a lot of targets, sneaky touchdowns. It's kind of the shit that I'm not into, but for people in panic mode.
Yeah, it's something to keep an eye on again, but no, just no.
All right, thank you for bringing me back down because I was getting kind of excited.
Yeah.
They're like the same tight end though. So I'm like, I don't even know which one to pick up.
Right, exactly. It's sort of like before Cameron Brate was a little clearer. It was like when, in the beginning of the year, OJ Howard, Cameron Brate, like who's it going to be? Sort of like that. Now it's obviously Brate, but I just can't. It's hard to discern any sort of value difference between the two of these guys.
Yeah, you want to stay away from a situation like an Aaron Hernandez, Rob Gronkowski thing. I know that's a weird name to bring up, but that's the situation with like a double tight end. So
stay away. Right, but both those guys were really, really good though. This is a little more.
This is the bottom tier of what I just said. This is the.
Yeah. It's funny because I just thought of comparing it to Jermaine Gresham because they just screamed Jermaine Gresham to me, but I don't really remember any sort of paired tight end he was with that like was also relevant.
Yeah, if you can clone Jermaine Gresham and put him again on opposite sides of the tackles there, you would have the same thing right now.
But, exactly.
I am going to take the Cardinals. I'm going to take the Cardinals.
All right, I'm going to go with the Rams here.
Cool. That is
LA going off this year.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Definitely the right move. And they are looking good. Nice surprising team. A team that isn't surprising and has been pretty shitty, the Bucks at the Bills. This is another pretty gross game. I hate this, dude. This is the worst. So we got Jameis Winston hurt. Ryan Fitzpatrick comes in relief and garbage times makes Jay Cutler look like a bitch, like in garbage time. And
I was going to say that this is a Ryan Fitzpatrick revenge game, but I was like, that could maybe be said against almost any game that he plays.
Yeah. When you play for half the league, I think you don't get revenge games anymore. You're just a league slut and you're getting passed around.
Yeah. You just know everybody.
So Winston's not going to throw it all this week. A little concerning. Obviously, if you have Winston, don't play him if he's active or not, but the quarterback situation, I think, kind of stays level because Winston hasn't been that good for the pass catchers here, like Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson. I think they all kind of stay on that plane where you've been playing him every week, so they'll be fine. But it is a rough matchup against the Bills.
I do not like DeSean Jackson this week at all.
Yeah,
myself. The Bills actually, it is a rough matchup. The Bills have only given up two passing touchdowns all year, which is crazy shit.
So that's some high profile shit. So they've been very, very stout. So if you're going to play, like you said, if you're going to play one, it's definitely Mike Evans. You're playing them anyway. But temper your expectations because the quarterback situation is whatever. And Mike Evans has been not great. Not getting the high volume stuff we've come to expect.
No, he got lucky with the touchdown last week, if I'm not mistaken.
So lucky. Fourth quarter, yeah. Ryan Fitzpatrick, garbage time, dude. So,
yep, exactly. But you still got to roll him out there. It's very funny, actually. There's definitely a clip on a podcast right before the season started where I said the Buffalo Bills are going to have the worst secondary in the history of football.
Lo and behold, I think that might be the Packers right now.
Yeah, that's very funny too. That's what I was going to say before. I was like, I came out to LA and now the Rams are great and the Dodgers are going to go to the World Series probably. And now the Packers and I like the Mets, all my teams are just like crumbling and falling apart. And I'm just watching success like around me everywhere and just absolutely the Packers blow. It's terrible.
Ugh, heartbreaking, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you moved out to LA, no, dude. That's such a hard thing to do.
All right. I'm not complaining like that. I'm just saying.
You know, I know. I'm teasing you.
I know. I thought you were Don for a second.
We do look the same, so. Yeah, so that's a pass-catching situation. Doug Martin, every week play until you're dead. Cameron Brate, I think the same thing. He's worked up every week starter status for me.
I agree.
Maybe you'll have a bum week where, like, O.J. Howard sneaks in a touchdown, but Cameron Brate every single week.
Absolutely. He's, like, been having some rock hand issues where he's dropping a lot of passes, but the volume of targets is there so much that it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it's they go to him so – it's very puzzling too because, like, O.J. Howard's a huge talent and they don't kind of even entertain the idea of throwing it to him.
Yeah, I mean, rookie tight ends, you kind of just see that. I don't know why.
It's pretty consistent. I feel like it's a hard position. You got to learn how to block, learn how to, you know, run the route. It's just – true. Yeah, it's all over the place. But, yeah. Yep, Cameron Brate forever. Switching over to the Bills. I think both of our streams of the week for Tyrod Taylor here. I put him at the top right now for guys I want to play.
I think I would say that too. I'm really down with Tyrod Taylor. The Bucs are like bottom five against the pass, I think. They're giving up
one of the worst defenses right now, like, period.
Yeah, absolutely. So, they give up some on the ground too to quarterbacks. I could see Tyrod getting some rushing in. The Bucs are just a bad defense. It's plain and simple.
Yeah, and
Bills coming off a bye.
Yeah, that being said, like, Tyrod probably got dropped or has never been owned in your league, so he should be ready for the plucking. Just take him out. And
yep, absolutely,
the only surefire play for me here is LeSean McCoy. Obviously, the wide receivers have done dick, so LeSean McCoy has been getting tons of carries, tons of looks. So he's got that floor. Hasn't found the end zone, just like Jay Ajayi. So he's due. It probably could happen this game. I wouldn't be surprised. So keep rolling McCoy out there for sure.
Yeah, I think he's their best running back and their best wide receiver.
He really is.
With Charles Clay going out, we saw the next, Nick O'Leary, the other tight end for them, got, you know, a modest target share and did some, you know, what he could with it. But Zay Jones got, I think he led the team in targets for pass catchers other than LeSean McCoy. I think he had one catch with six targets. He's just bad, I think. I've watched some Bills games and, like, Zay Jones just looks really bad.
Yeah, he has it reminds me of Nelson Agholor, just kind of like hyped up probably by the fantasy community for no reason, and then goes out there, doesn't really know the system, kind of looking like shitty, but yeah, like right. You said, he looks bad. And
do you Jordan by chance still. Not like Nelson Agholor?
Yeah.
Because that's like the third time that you've negatively compared someone. That's like the Nelson Agholor of this team.
I really hate, like, all right, we didn't even get to the Eagles because they're on the other podcast. But, dude, I hate that he's doing good now because I drafted him, like, when his rookie year. I'm like, this will be great, you know? And it wasn't. It was so, yeah, I got the grudge going, which I usually try not to hold. But, dude, Agholor is bad. He's bad.
Yeah.
Yep. We got away from that a little bit, but sorry, man, I'm going to the dark place. But I think, like you said, Nick O'Leary, he wound up getting, I think he got six catches once Charles Clay left, which is pretty big. Do you buy that? Is this kind of an Ed Dixon kind of level guy? Are you streaming him?
See, I think I'd prefer Ed Dixon just because at this point it's what you've seen. And, you know, I mean, Tyrod has loved the tight end. We saw Charles Clay's success. And if he's got – you know what? I'm kind of talking myself into it a little more. I just feel like it's risky as shit. And in the tight end pool –
very much so.
The tight end pool, like, I'd feel more comfortable with Ed Dixon. I'm trying to think of other fringe guys. But, like, I would play Nick O'Leary over, say, like, Kobe Fleener.
Zach – what about Zach Miller? Out there.
I think I might play Nick O'Leary over Zach Miller.
I think I would too. just because, you know, the Bears aren't passing. But yeah, I feel like he's in the same kind of grouping there.
Yeah, people that are rolling like David Njoku out there and stuff like that, like, you know, maybe consider going for Nick O'Leary. That's about it. If you're, again, if you're an Ebron owner, we've talked about him enough, but get rid of that dude.
You say Eric Ebron as much as I say Nelson Agholor.
Fine. That's true.
All right. Let's get the fuck out of this game. I'm going to take, I'm going to take the Bills here.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Bills as well.
Sweet. Let's, well, this is a great game to end the podcast on. Holy shit. All right. Jaguars at Colts. This is huge, man.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what?
You want to start with
this is actually a pretty big game for the AFC South. But
yeah, I wanted to start with the Colts and just say I do not want to play any of them. None. Nobody.
Okay, let me see if I can get something out of this. So
okay.
So Robert Turbin out for the season with that gross arm injury that he suffered on Monday night.
Okay.
Frank Gore, Marlon Mack kind of go into a flex territory for me because the Jaguars have been beaten up in the run game, and that's kind of all I can get out of this. So this will be brief. Do you accept what I'm saying or no?
I won't say it about Marlon Mack because they only gave him the ball two times last week.
But Robert Turbin is gone.
Right, but still, I mean, just if they were, I guess that.
And if you think that, then Frank Gore is going to get 30 carries.
I look at Chuck Pagano. I brought this up on the podcast before, and it's like we've talked about, oh, Sean Payton, like, and he's confused with running backs, and Bill Belichick. We've complained about that. I don't think Chuck Pagano should be employed on an NFL team.
I agree.
And he and Marlon Mack had an 18-yard carry,
22
last week. No, oh yeah, 22, and then he had 18 total yards because he lost four, and that was it.
Yep,
just not seen from again. But it's like, what the hell are you doing, man? That was a close game. He's an intriguing rookie. Frank Gore, maybe, but I just think that they're going to end up stacking the box because those corners are so good, and it's a young quarterback. I just don't see a lot of offensive production from the Colts at all. The Jaguars might have – it's possible they have the best defense in football.
I completely agree with that, and that's why I'm sitting the wide receivers, even T.Y. Hilton. I feel like a lot of people are –
oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are – you know, mesmerized by what he's been able to do since like the first week where they probably played him and he, you know, bummed him out, but he's been doing great. You do not play him against the secondary. It is a bad move. Jacoby Brissett's probably going to get sacked probably five or six times this game. It's going to be a bad outing for the wide receivers there and Jacoby Brissett, but yeah.
See, that's what I'm thinking. I actually expect the Jaguars to go up in this game pretty early, and I just don't think that game script works out for Frank Gore more specifically, and you would think maybe Marlon Mack, but it's just we've seen them shy away from him when he's had limited success, so I want no part of it.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, pretty much what you're getting at is this could be a 10-point game for the Colts, and there's very little – like it'll be like Jack Doyle catching like a one-yard pass possibly, so –
Right. Or yes, yeah, just something. It's just good luck trying to navigate and predict where that's going to come from.
All right, cool. Well, we'll switch over to the Jags. Some concern here for Leonard Fournette. No practice today. Today is Wednesday, the 18th. So hopefully he gets at least something in, or they're just, you know, relaxing him for whatever. But Matt, you got to agree that Fournette owner should at least be going out to get some CJ. Jesus Christ, why can't I fucking talk? Chris Ivory.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's funny because I'm going to call out Don real hard the other day, or we did a podcast like 3 weeks ago, and I was like, hey, Chris Ivory has been getting a lot of work. You should pick him up as a Fournette handcuff. And he was just like, no, TJ Yeldon's coming back. And I was like, no, Chris Ivory. But ooh. TJ Yeldon is not coming back. Is he coming back? That's what I wanted to ask you. I wanted to see if you knew about that because Don was saying it, and I didn't know anything.
See – to me, it's kind of like that smokescreen stuff like we've seen with like the Zeke news for comparison, where they're like, oh, you know, who hasn't been active in a while? Darren McFadden. He's going to be our lead. So I would be shocked if the Jags did that. So I don't know. Don might have some insider information, but I'm on the side. I'm on the side of you with Chris Ivory because, dude, the guy got 10 targets last week. I know it was,
yeah,
the game script was cool and Fournette got hurt, but, dude, he got 10 targets. That's unignorable.
Absolutely. And he looked, and he did, you know, he did, he looked good when he got him too. He, when he made the catches, he, you know, had some room and, you know, made the most of it. One thing I will say though, I do think Fournette missing practice is maintenance, because as I told you, I think I watched that injury happen and it looked like a knee injury at first. It was very, very scary as, as Fournette was going off. Turned out to be an ankle, and he actually came back into the game. So he was definitely running a little more gingerly. It was obvious, but that was a very close game. The Jaguars needed to win. And you know, I think it's more just maintenance. I would be shocked if Fournette missed, but I think Chris Ivory is, I think that Chris Ivory is a fine bottom of the bench guy, regardless of Fournette's availability, with some running backs that are owned out there.
Yeah, definitely. He's one of those guys like you take out of, you know, spite for some people, and it, it could benefit you at times because you, you know, you clear out a bench spot, you get a guy who could, you know, pose value in this. If you had Chris Ivory earlier, look at you, you got like a flex play right now. So it's the little things like that could win you a league sometimes, but that's going very, very deep into it. I feel like we have to mention this for daily. Blake Bortles comes in with a sweet matchup against the Colts. Are you doing this in any situation ever?
I'd rather not. No, but what I will say off that is that I do like Marquise Lee this week.
He also did not practice.
But I mean, I'm just, this is under the assumption that he should play. He seems to be getting a bulk of the targets. You know, I just totally could see him finding the end zone finally, or at least getting, you know, a decent PPR showing. Will that translate to Blake Bortles? I don't know if I love that really.
At all. I hear you loud and clear, Matt. Bortles, Marquise Lee stack for the win in all of your daily lineups. Matt said it here first.
You know what? I don't hate that though. I mean,
it's definitely a contrarian play too. Like, not a lot of people are doing that, so it's pretty interesting. But
yeah,
I'm gonna take the Jaguars here.
Yeah, I'm taking the Jaguars.
Cool.
You know, I love the Jags.
Yeah, the defense specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Finally. All right, that wraps it up for the first portion of the Week 7 Preview Podcast. We are going to jump into some questions, and then we'll really be done. So I lied to you 5 seconds ago when I said we were done. So, Matt, this one comes from Colin. Who should I put in at flex, Marshawn Lynch or Joe Mixon?
Well, we didn't get to the Bengals yet, but I think I like Joe Mixon's potential for a higher workload more. We'll talk about that on the next podcast more specifically. But as we said at the top, you know, Marshawn Lynch, the workload isn't there. He's too touchdown dependent. Thursday night game, I'm going Joe Mixon.
Yes, I'm absolutely going Joe Mixon because I'm biased as shit as a Bengals fan. And also I think he's coming into his own in that offense where he's kind of averaging 16 to 18 touches, which Marshawn Lynch has yet to come close to. So I'm on Joe Mixon. You don't want to gamble on Lynch anymore. He's, you know, he's sittable, like we said before. This one comes from Lewis or Luis. I think Walsh did the same thing. This guy might be an everyday listener. So I apologize if we're saying your name wrong, but he or she got a trade offer. And they said, I get Dez Bryant and Baldwin for Mike Evans. Your thoughts?
Hell yes.
I love it.
Do that trade.
I absolutely love it.
Yeah. I feel like this is common too, where like guys like Dez Bryant, Doug Baldwin, when they're on bye weeks, guys for some reason, like from not having the production in the forefront of their mind that they give them, like want are like more apt to trade them away. So jump on that for sure. Like you're getting two wide receivers, I think, that have the quality of Mike Evans right there. And at least one of them does week to week for sure.
Absolutely. I want to point out that Dez Bryant is like top 10 in targets right now. That is amazing for Dez because those touchdowns will come. And then Baldwin also, he's been, you know, dealing with that groin injury, but still, like, he's the most targeted guy every single week for the Seahawks, and they eventually put it together. Like you said, these are both two slow burn guys. So nice trading Evans right now while he's struggling and getting two top tier dudes. I like that a lot.
Yeah, it's a great trade.
Absolutely. This comes from JC. I have Matt Ryan and Roethlisberger. Should I drop Ben and pick up Mariota or Luck for the rest of the season? Mariota, please.
Yeah, Mariota, definitely not Luck, and definitely drop Ben. Those are things that I'm going to say.
Yeah, Ben will put it together at some point, like, but
I don't think so, dude. You know, but we're going to get to that in the next podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think season long. I'm meaning for like a game or two. So that's why I'm saying, like, get rid of him. Pick up Mariota. He's got the rushing upside, all that stuff. And Luck may not play, which will also, you know, kind of – oh, wait, we already passed the Colts game. Yeah, Luck.
Yeah, he might not play. He actually just had a he just had a setback today.
Yeah, fuck. I forgot to throw. Damn it, I forgot to mention that, but whatever. Yeah. For this question, it's perfect.
Hey, that's when the fans help us out. The listeners end up reminding us of things that we forget to say that are really, really important shit.
That was so very, very important. Thank you, JC. Chris J, I lost Aaron Rodgers. I'm very sorry. And you're in his first fantasy game. So he lost Aaron Rodgers and is now in the loss column. I do not have a backup quarterback. All the elites are taken. I have Rob Gronkowski and Zach Ertz. I was offered up Tom Brady for Gronk. Should I make this trade or just play a second-tier quarterback like Tyrod Taylor? Tyrod, I feel forever.
Yeah, I like Tyrod. One thing I will say is that if you can play both tight ends of Ertz and Gronkowski, definitely, definitely don't do that trade. You want to put both those guys in your lineup. I think it's a little – I still wouldn't do it. I would try and flip Brady for Ertz if possible, though I don't think that would happen. But I'd rather just rock Tyrod. But Vinny, wouldn't you say – I want to ask if he can only play one of these tight ends. He should try and get some sort of trade value for one of them, right?
Yeah, I was going to follow up with you saying that he should get something better. Like, dude, don't let anyone twist your arm or make you think that you're in a bad position at quarterback because it's very fixable. You can go out there, get Carson Palmer, Jared Goff, fucking do – like literally anything, play the matchups, look at the lower tier guys. And if Tyrod Taylor's out there for you right now, he's got a great matchup. He's got a nice floor. Don't let anyone ever muscle you into giving them someone like a high top, like a very high caliber guy. Like Rob Gronkowski, don't give him away.
Yeah, that's actually great advice. And I'm sure a lot of people that lost Aaron Rodgers probably are going through that right now.
Those poor people, man. They must be getting barraged.
But remember that like if your team is good and you have guys like Gronk and Ertz and things, it's possible that if you own a tandem of like Jared Goff and Carson Palmer or Jacoby Brissett, like you can work the matchups and be completely fine and get 18 points from the quarterback position weekly.
Yeah, honestly, if I was in this position and Tyrod wasn't available and like you really had nothing, Blake Bortles, man, go down with the ship. Like I would never, ever trade for a quarterback. I'm that stubborn. But the point we're trying to make is you don't have to, you know, get muscles into a trade for quarterback at all.
Right.
And that is the last question for this podcast, Matt. I think we're running a little long, but that's totally fine because we do whatever we want, man. But that is it for us on this one. We're going to hit you with the other part of the games. Should be coming to you Friday. So thanks for listening. Download the apps, check out Bench Boss, do all that good stuff. For Matt Rogers, I'm Vinny Gonzalez, and this podcast is over, so we'll see you on the next one.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.